you realize how often I start the show with so? I mean, it's one of those like little ticks that I've noticed, but it's like a perfect starting word. So did you hear about such and such, or so? Oh my God, I can't believe this and that. You know, it's a perfect word to start off, and yeah. So. the my Microsoft showcase happened today. There's a lot of debate here at LRM over what Microsoft is doing, if it's a good idea, bad idea. But I'll tell you one thing: the excitement for Xbox itself, Xbox Series X, based off of its showcase, is almost non-existent, especially when compared to other studios who had individual shows this year, because you know there's no big game show. Jeff Keighley, I'm not sure if I'm saying his name. Jeff Keighley, I think, K-E-I-G-H-L-E. He's a tech reporter guy on Twitter. He's done polls for like the Stadia Connect event, the Ubisoft Forward event, the EA Play event, and of course the PlayStation 5 event, and the Xbox games showcase. All asking for a letter grade of how you would rate each event, right? I'm not going to worry about, like, Stadia was like 76% a D. Ubisoft was like split between B and C. EA Play was like D or below 50%. PlayStation for the PS5 was 56% A, 31% B. So, I mean, that's an overwhelming majority that really, really liked what they saw. You know, 87%. Whoever gave it a D or lower must have been like some trolls or something like that. But the Xbox won with 30,000 votes, and it may have changed since this early afternoon. 20% A, 30% B, 28% C, 22% D or below. So almost 50-50 between liking it and being disappointed, but no resounding A. I mean, only 20% gave it an A. Brian, you own pretty much every system there is. You've done a Xbox, you've done PlayStation. How'd you feel about today's event?
it's a joke. Like, listen, let me open this and get all the Xbox fanboys upset. I owned an original Xbox. I owned a 360. I own an Xbox One. I was one of those guys in those early days of Xbox Live. I played Halo 2. I played Halo 3, Rainbow Six, New Vegas. I was in those communities. I don't hate my Xbox. I mess with it every so often. I like playing some of the older games, Jade Empire, BioWare games, Knights of the Old Republic, stuff like that. So I went into this hopeful that they had something worth showing. I'm sorry if you it was horrible, is what I thought. I was embarrassed for them. And I'm going to be honest, if you disagree with me, I beg you to explain why I'm wrong in the comments, because you're going to, no one can convince, I mean, well, you can try, but it would be very difficult to convince me that what they showed was worthy of being shown. To show Halo in that state is just insulting. And I have some positive things to say about the gameplay, but I guess we'll talk about more stuff here in a minute. But as far as, it looked like a cheap ass version of what Far Cry has been doing for, 5, 10 years, going back to Far Cry 3, 4, 5. And those games look superior. And I'm not even going to rag on the graphics. The graphics were, you know, a joke, but I'm talking purely gameplay. As far as the Halo thing, I like that they're trying this open world idea. I'm all for that. But like I said, you can go back to Far Cry 3, and they've
nothing innovative.
Nothing. And as far as like, oh, the hook shot and this and that, okay, Metroid Prime. I mean, you know, I'm glad that they're changing it up. I'm not against that, but they should have shown a little more in that demo, because if you're just going to hit bases and kill the enemies there, that's going to get old really quickly.
Yeah. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our mornings where today an Xbox fan is going to shit all over Xbox. Oh, yeah. here's something that needs to be known. Nintendo made this mistake with two Zelda games, Breath of the Wild and Twilight Princess. The games went in development and were meant for the system before it, correct, but just so happened to get a little bit of a touch-up for the system that came after it. Twilight Princess was a GameCube game that got released on the Wii, and Breath of the Wild was a Wii U game that just so happened to get a slight upgrade, better frame rate and little ups on graphics, but really like the field of view, like your draw distance was like the big difference between the Wii U and the Switch version. Halo Infinite is an Xbox One game. It's an Xbox One game. It was designed on the Xbox One dev kit starting years ago. It's got a patch and some stuff that'll be available for the Series X, but they knew they had the next gen coming out. Why even bother? And looking at this is from a guy that's not an Xbox guy, because I don't care for Halo and I don't care for Forza. I'm not a big race car gamer. I'm sorry, but Halo, its multiplayer just ripped Star Siege Tribes. Hell, the fucking armor designs ripped Star Siege Tribes, which is a mid-late 90s PC game. And as far as its first player stuff, it was trying to get like AI on the level of like Half-Life and stuff like that, but I was never impressed with Halo, because I'd already done that shit on PC. Been there, done that, and so I don't really give two shits, but I feel bad, because here they are bragging about all this power that the system has, but then they say, oh, but by the way, all of these games are not only going to be available on the Xbox One and the One X and One S or whatever the fuck, but they're all going to be available via Game Pass on that Xbox One and PC, literally defeating the entire purpose of getting an Xbox Series X. There's no reason now this holiday season to go get one if you can get all those games, especially the ones that you can get on PC, because they're going to look better on PC than they will on the Series X or the Xbox One, of course. What's there to get an Xbox fan excited enough to drop what I'm sure will be $500 on an Xbox Series X, Brian?
Nothing. And that's the problem. Nothing. That's why it was so irritating. I watched it, and I was shocked. I was legitimately shocked that that's all they had to show. And then you look, it's like, oh, Fable. Okay. The studio that's making it have only made the Forza games. I mean, and then now they're going to make an action RPG. I'm not saying they can't and that it's not capable to be done, but you're going to make an announcement like that. You're going to tell me that a studio that only makes, you know, one kind of game is going to make this, and then you're not going to show me anything. You're just, it's basically an announcement.
Yeah, Fable's coming, ladies and gentlemen.
yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It was just, there's been E3s in the past that were lackluster. This, if this was an E3 event, this would have ranked as one of the worst, I think, in the history of it. I really do. I you know, and look, go to Twitter right now. Go look up what people are saying about Halo. I'm being nice compared to some of the stuff being said. You know, I mean, look, if you're a hardcore Halo person, sure. If you're excited, good for you. You know, great. But I'm shocked that that's as good as they can. That's as good as it gets. And I mean, shit, they're not doing anything Destiny isn't doing with it. You know what I mean? Like, hell, Destiny looks, the last expansion of Destiny looks better than what they showed us in Halo. I'm playing Ghost of Tsushima right now. That looks 10 times better than what they showed me in Halo.
Bad. not like bad in a good way. That's just bad. Yeah, a lot of people are complaining about the graphics. Somebody even compared, has screenshots of Killzone Shadowfall in 2013 compared to Halo.
Damn. That's funny.
And look, yeah, playing something at 4K resolution will make things look nice. But that doesn't really add to the idea of textures and shadows and reflections and all of that. It really doesn't. You only get so far with resolution, and then frame rate is an important thing. Yeah, because this is an older game, you're gonna get to probably with 60 frames per second pretty much locked in. But also, a lot of these next gen things, people don't seem to understand that you got to have a TV that's capable of, like, some of the games that were saying, oh, this will play at 120 frames per second. Okay, only if you've got a TV that can do that, you know. I'm looking through, and people are not very, very happy. There's people with G.I. Joes and making scenes and joking about Halo. Somebody pointed out that the grass was being drawn as the characters walking through it, and that's not good. That's really not good.
I've seen side by sides of, you know, Halo 3 to it, just showing how, you know what I mean. And how could they not see it? You know what I mean? How could they not look at this demo and be like, oh yeah, you know, people are gonna be, you know, irritated by this. The most positive thing I can say is that the shooting did feel like old school Halo, you know, Halo 2, mm-hmm. 3. You know, that's a positive, I guess, that I can say.
Was there anything that caught your attention in a positive way about today's showcase?
The only thing that I didn't know about that I was like, oh, okay, that sort of looks cool. Obsidian's, I don't even know what it was called.
Avowed.
There you go. Basically, they're doing Skyrim, you know. And I was like,
yeah,
all right, cool company. They produce, you know, good games. It could be interesting. That's definitely something to keep an eye on. But that was probably the only thing mm-hmm. that made me, you know, a little like, okay, that's cool, something to keep an eye on. But that, besides that, no, there was nothing that impressed me at all.
So some of the guys at LRM, like Cam, are all saying that Microsoft's betting the bank on Game Pass. I see a problem with that in the future. who is going to want their game to be available on Game Pass, where they're going to make pennies off of it, when they could put it on PlayStation and sell it for $60.
Yeah.
You're going to run into a third-party support issue, I think. And if you're not going to take hardware and direct purchases seriously. I mean, it's great. Yeah, you've got thousands of old games available on Game Pass. And, oh, we're going to put all of our big first-party titles on there. Now you've not only given us no reason to you know, now we're not going to have to buy the games, but because you're doing it on Game Pass for and allowing it on Xbox One and PC, you're giving us no reason to buy the hardware. So where do you make money? Like, I'm missing the business plan on this. But I don't see the business plan. Point, Brian. Where do you make your money? So subscriptions? I mean, look. There's a lot of PC people out in the world, but only 80 some odd million people have an Xbox One. You think all 80 million are Game Pass subscribers?
Yeah, you know, there's been talk about, you know, the end of the console era altogether, and, you know, only, you know, maybe Nintendo and being around. It seems like Microsoft should have just skipped this year. You know what I mean? They should have just already bowed out if this was what they were going to do, and just focus on PC. So, you know, there you go. Mm-hmm. Make games. You know what I mean? Because the whole point of you're right. I agree. I just don't see the point in it and what they're doing. And even looking at Xbox One, look, it's no secret that there hasn't been a whole lot of exclusives for that console. There's nothing really outside of Gears of War. And so I don't know. What's the point of them having a console at this point? I don't know.
Damn, oh boy. Oh boy, it's, yeah, that's just the business model, man. I don't get it. I just don't see it. I'll give them that. It is at least Game Pass, where you can actually download the game, is better than streaming, because streaming games, lag is an issue because everything's being rendered elsewhere and streamed. It's not like you're playing a game that you own online where only the other people's actions are having to be rendered elsewhere, processed and then shown. Everything's, you know, in-house on your system, computer, console, whatever the case may be. But I don't foresee why am I as a third-party company going to really want to make games for you if you're just going to put shit on Game Pass, because nobody's gonna buy my game for $60, and I just spent $5 million, $10 million in development. I need to recoup my money. It's going to take me forever getting it off of your pennies at a time subscription service. You know? And so it gets down to where the only stuff coming out on Xbox is Xbox goes the way of Nintendo, where it's all for first party stuff, in-house stuff. Yeah. Is that enough to stay
but
in
the
hardware game?
The problem, what do they have? That's first
part. Halo and Forza, Brian.
Literally.
Come on.
Literally. And that's what the point I was trying to make. You know, even with Nintendo, you love them or hate them, they have a handful of properties that sell, you know, sell a ridiculous amount of money, and they literally survive off of Pokemon and Mario Kart and Smash. Like, and those games pull in that much money, and they do very well for them.
Yeah.
And so they have that. All that the Xbox really has is Halo. Now, is Halo Infinite? Are they going to go? Because when I was looking at it, I was thinking in thinking about Destiny and, you know, sort of a live service type model. I could see that with this. And if they could get enough people that, you know, were dedicated to playing the game nonstop, like, you know, even Destiny players, maybe there's some money to be made there. But outside of that, what do they have?
Go in the way of microtransactions and and hats.
Yeah, I mean,
it's funny. It is, in a sad way. It's funny in a sad way. I think I know about you, but I definitely know about me. And next year at some point, I'll be purchasing a PS5. Right around whenever Horizon for Forbidden West is released.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to having a PS5. And this is like the third year in a row, or third system in a row of reveal for games and stuff, like third system showcase. The 360 had its issues. The One had its issues. It was better than the 360, but and then this has been a mess. So poor my Microsoft, and everybody thought they were going to be the next PlayStation because Halo was just, oh my god, man, have you played Halo? Whatever. I played Star Siege Tribes. Guys, go look it up. If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, you'll be like, oh my god, they ripped off Halo. Oh, no. This game came out long before Halo was an itch in Microsoft's pants. So, anyways, you got anything else to say about Microsoft's showcase today, Brian?
No, just that... I was just shocked at how bad it was. I honestly didn't think, I didn't think it would be that bad. I thought there would be a couple like legit surprises. I thought Halo might blow me away a little more. You know, I thought they had something that they were, you know, ready to blow our minds with, and I was just shocked. Like, damn, like this shit goes on sale in like what, 4 months? This is it. This was your selling, like, this was your big salesman pitch?
Like I said, they're hedging all bets on Game Pass, I don't see how that business model holds up. And I see a lot of third-party developers just going to PlayStation and increasing the exclusives that PlayStation will have, because that's where the money is to be made. Go digital by all means, but games that cost millions of dollars to make, it's like a movie, which we're going to get into a discussion about movies here in just a second. It's like movies that cost $120 million to make. You can't just release it for free. You have to make your money back somehow, some way. You know, Netflix is learning that they've been running deficits for years and borrowing money for years because they never owned the rights to their shit. They leased it, and then they hoped that subscription fees would pay the bills, and it hasn't, not completely. And speaking of movies, man, we got more movie delays. Mulan has been delayed indefinitely. The Avatar films have all been pushed back 1 year, so Avatar 2 is now not coming out until 22, 3 in 24, 4 in 26, and 5, if they even get that far, 2028. I still can't believe that. And Taika Waititi's Star Wars film has been pushed back from 22 to 23, And there will be another Star Wars movie in 24, one in 25, and one in 27. That scares me, again, getting to that Star Wars every year thing. Mulan's pulled indefinitely. The only thing no word on was Black Widow, which is still supposed to have a November release. Brian, reactions?
Yeah, so everything we said. I mean, if you listen to the show,
when was that, Monday?
We've been talking about it. There were analysts that have been basically saying that 2020 may not just not have movies, or at least not until the very end. And the moving taking Mulan off the board was the next to go because it was the closest. Mm-hmm. Tenet had already been pulled. We knew. I think they'll hold off on Black Widow and some of the, November, December films, just because, like I said a couple days ago, they don't want the stock market to get crazy, and they want to keep the investors, calm, so they don't want to make, okay, there's be no movies in 2020.
Yeah.
Or they could be looking at doing something like what Bill and Ted are doing, where it's like, okay, we'll drop it in the theater, but we'll also have it where you can buy it online or rent it or whatever. And that's what, September 1. So I could, maybe they're looking at things like that. Whatever theaters are open, we'll go ahead and drop it, but then we'll also offer a digital option. I don't know.
Yeah.
But no, the most ridiculous part of this story is the fact that Avatar is moving 2022. I mean, I understand a move, but shit.
It's quite a far way out. What do you think about the Star Wars moves and the fact that now we're getting back to Star Wars every year?
Yeah. I'm not. I don't know. I mean, I still want to know what the next film, what it's going to be, or what the idea is behind it. We know that we're going to spend the next handful of years, with the Disney Plus shows. That's, that's Star Wars for a while, and then we'll get back to the movies. It all comes down to what it is that they want to do. And my guess is their hope, this is a gamble, but they're hoping that they're going to continue the momentum from Mandalorian, continue to build an audience, build a buzz around Star Wars again, and then by, 2-3 years from now or whatever, they'll be able to be back into that, happy billion-dollar world of Star Wars. We'll see.
Yeah. The thing about Mulan is they could go ahead and release it overseas. A lot of places overseas are open, but like you and I said, if you release it, there's going to be people that are like, I'm going to see this movie no matter what.
That's what I said with Tenet. You release, especially a film like Tenet, where there's such mystery as to what even is going on, people are not going to wait. If once it drops, it's out. And so, you could either make money off of it or not. And that's up to the company,
And I know they want to release Mulan, especially in China, because they see it making easily 500 million plus in China. I'm sure that's their low end estimates. That movie has the potential, just because of the subject matter, that movie has the potential to be a $700-800 million China movie. Not to mention what it would make here in the United States. So them pulling it indefinitely shows me that they're very well aware, and they want that movie to do super super well. It's like you and I have said, do the hybrid thing. Even here in the United States, all of these older individually owned theaters that are in cities that have allowed them to open, and they're showing old movies and stuff like that. Let them show, whoever's got a screen, If you want to show Black Widow, do it, and then everybody else, premium video on demand via Disney Plus. I'm telling you, that's the best fucking way to do it. And then once the numbers come back, and then you see it's viable, fucking do it with Mulan. See what happens. Release it overseas. Release it to every theater that can in the United States, and premium video on demand. See what you make. At some point, somebody's got to take this jump.
Well, that's been the funny thing with Tenet and Mulan. Those two have been playing a game of chicken over the last couple of months. You know, moving slightly to see who's going to be the first big blockbuster to open first. And now Tenet pulled indefinitely, and Disney went ahead and did it with Mulan. So both companies basically, both companies backed out. Neither wanted to do it. And so now it might be Wonder Woman. I'm going to have to go look. What is the next major blockbuster that's left on the schedule? I think it's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that Black Widow.
Yeah, that's November. I know Black Widow's November, I think.
Yeah.
So I think it's Wonder Woman is the next one. And, okay, you know, are they going to... What's Warner Brothers going to do when we get close, when we get into September? You know, little films like, you know, Bill and Ted, you know, those are smaller films. So they're, you know, they're just going to say screw it. And like I said, do the hybrid thing. But it's these $100 million films that are
October to October for Wonder
there you
Woman.
Go. So 2 months. They got to make a decision. They got about a month and a half to make a decision. What are they going to do? Because if they pull that, I'm calling it, if Wonder Woman gets pulled, then all the dominoes fall after that. Because if they're not willing to, if the 2020 prediction will come true, everybody will pull out of 2020, I think. Unless they do a online hybrid thing.
I think Marvel has to, dude. There's no way you push Black Widow to February of 21 and move everything over again, because the Sony shit with Spider-Man's gonna get in the way. Marvel, for the love of the MCU and the timeline and everything, just do it. Release Black Widow on every available screen and put it on premium video on demand. Be the guinea pigs, but at the same time, be a hero to your fans and give us some fucking content. I'm serious. Stop being little bitches about it. I understand you want to make money, but the old ways of making money were already starting to show cracks in the armor, the theater sales and stuff like that, and theaters themselves staying open and all this other stuff. Be that guinea pig. Show the world that you can make money in different ways. I mean, agree or disagree, Brian?
No, I agree, and I they're gonna have to make a decision soon. And like you said, I would, that's just too many movies to move again. I don't know. Between Wonder Woman, Black Widow, James Bond, Dune, they already moved King Kong, Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. But the studios keep pushing. No one wants to be that first one. Nobody. Warner Brothers is next in line. We'll see what they do.
Yeah, well, we shall see. Well, you guys heard Brian earlier. Challenge him in the comments below if you feel the Xbox show was actually good. He'll crawl out of his hole and give you a response, maybe. And, make sure you're checking out LRMonline.com every single day. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel. Subscribe. And the podcast channel where we are, wherever you get podcasts from, everywhere we're available. Please subscribe. Like I said, that's what does it for us. Listens or clicks alone are not enough. Feed us, goddammit. No. please subscribe. And subscribe to Brian's YouTube channel, which he will tell you more about right now.
It's YouTube. It's on YouTube. The channel is Pulp Mythos, P-U-L-P-M-Y-T-H-O-S. That's one word. I've been doing Perry Mason reviews on Sunday nights, do movie reviews, and we'll be doing Lovecraft Country when it starts.
There you guys go. You guys can find me at Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you on Monday.